Welcome back to Hawk Talk, the official podcast of Hettinger Public School. I'm Joel Janikowski, your host, and we're here to keep you in the loop with the latest school news, offer insights from school board meetings, and dive deep into the educational experience our school provides for students, parents, and our tight-knit community. In this episode, we're exploring the profound benefits of learning on the playground and in the gym. Joining us are Principal Dave Erickson and PE teacher Reba Resner. They're passionate advocates for physical education and its impact on students' lives. Now, we're going to go into how the playground and gym serve as vibrant classrooms for life skills. They also promote collaboration, resilience, and empathy. So stay with us as we uncover the hidden gems of education found on the playground and in the gym. Get ready for an enlightening conversation that might just change your perspective on the true essence of learning. Now, let's begin the episode. Hey, Mr. Erickson, thanks for talking today. Thanks for coming in and doing this quick Hawk Talk with us. Really, really appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's Friday. Willing to do just about anything on a Friday.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And, you know, right now, like Mr. Erickson was saying, you know, it's Friday. This is the first Friday that we had of the school year. School's just getting started. How are things going at that point? How are things going with that?
Well, we always talk, Mr. J, that there's 2 days you really cannot prepare for. That's the first day of school and the last day of school. The biggest thing is making sure that we have people in place. It starts in the morning. The bus is going to make it on time. Is breakfast going to be ready?
Yeah.
Is something going to break down? Is lunch going to be ready? Are the teachers ready to roll, which they are? The kids are ready to roll, and then you hit that end of the day, and then the buses are outside, and parents are outside to pick them up, and then you kind of evaluate the day. But I think so far we're where we want to be.
Very awesome. Very awesome. And yeah, you can definitely feel that across the school right now is, you know, you have the first day of school jitters. You could feel it across the school. And of course, because it's a very important day, but you can tell by about Friday that edge has really come off.
Oh, absolutely.
Quite a bit. So that's been really, really good. So kind of one of the main things that we wanted to talk about today in this episode was, you know, how the playground and PE are so beneficial. And it's one of those things that's like, yeah, we have it, but maybe we need to talk again about why we have it. So kind of starting with that, you would believe and probably agree with me that the playground and also PE could truly be considered their own classroom. Right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we talk about an extension of the classroom.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many different areas within the school, mm-hmm. Whether it's out on the playground, whether it's co-curricular activities. You know, in the old days, we used to call them sports. Now they're co-curricular or extracurricular activities, whether it's speech, cross-country, drama, upload. All the different entities. But yes, I think when we get the kids outside, mm-hmm. We want to have a little bit of fun, but we still got to have a few rules that we got to follow.
Absolutely. And learning to, you know, follow those rules, that transfers over the classroom. So absolutely. So, I think it's safe to assume that the playground and the gym provide a space for students to kind of release that pent up energy, you know, and express creativity. Would you agree?
You know, one of the funnest things to do is to go out and just watch kids in action.
Okay, yeah.
You know, they find a stick and the creativity, right?
Yeah.
We think that we have to have all these new footballs, volleyballs. I was upset a couple years ago when we had to get rid of tetherball. You know, I really love tetherball.
Yeah.
So evidently somewhere the tetherball went around and got either hit somebody or got wrapped around their neck. But anyway,
yeah.
So we got to be safe, Mr. J. But when we start talking about the extension of the classroom and the creativity and just going outside, mm-hmm. getting fresh air and having fun takes a little bit of the edge off for the teachers, for the students. And that's one of those things that I think that we want to make sure that we do. Currently, we go about 25 to 30 minutes K through 6.
And we're talking lunchtime, right?
We're talking lunch, recess, whatever it is.
Yep.
Now, of course, a lot of teachers are very open to doing outside hands-on. We love that. Two things are happening. You're getting the kids outside some fresh air, which we need. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then we're also kind of doing something that is very creative, open-ended, you know, mm-hmm. walk around and show me something that has, you know, wood in it, whatever, you know, you can do whatever creativity.
Yeah.
Now, with that being said, there's always people said, well, why don't we have more recess? Well, there are certain core subjects we have to get in.
Yep.
Then there comes the supervision. So we do allow the 25 to 30 minutes per day. We also do physical education, the 25 minutes.
Okay.
And then any time in the morning, if the students are here, we keep them outside.
Absolutely.
But it comes down to a couple of different things. It comes down to supervision. It comes mm-hmm. down to the amount of time allotted. But any time that we have an extra minute or two mm-hmm. or there's an opportunity to get outside, our teachers take advantage of that.
Oh, wow. So, I mean, if you look at the math, I mean, they're getting a guaranteed ballpark hour almost a day because you got the recess, you got the PE, and even a little bit in the morning. I mean, that's putting you around to that hour.
Absolutely.
Right? So, I mean, they're getting that every day.
That's absolutely
awesome. So with that being stated, how does this outlet for energy and expression contribute to an increased focus and improved behavior in the classroom and even at home? How does all of that impact the classroom and the home?
You know, I use the example of like a man shed or a garage.
Okay.
So you go outside and you tinker, right?
Yeah.
So when we go out, we tinker, we have the kids go outside. You know, maybe you got a couple of kids that are putting together a soccer game, or maybe they're going on Dylan's field to play a little football.
Yeah.
Other kids, they're just sitting there, maybe looking at the hornets that are outside today. Unfortunately, we've got a lot more hornets and bees, so we got a lot of new bee sting antiseptics. Okay, but I think that when we look at an extension and some of the different things that we do, we're learning outside that, we still have rules. We still have to be polite. We have to follow. We can't push.
Yeah, those things come in naturally regardless.
Exactly.
So they're seeing those things not only at home. They're not only seeing them in the classroom. They're like, oh, here it is again, right with my peers.
The biggest thing I see is interaction with kids that they normally would not. You know, so the nice thing is right away our first recess is K through 2. You mm-hmm. know, some of the kindergartners, they're still a little bit maybe nervous. But, you know, and you have a daughter, she gets to see some of the first graders, and it's like, Dad, I got to play with the first graders, and they included me.
Yeah.
That's huge. So when we start talking about self-esteem, we start talking about kids getting into a group. Yeah. Now, on the flip side of that, we may have a kid that is not included.
Yeah.
So the cool thing that I see happening, Joel, is we have kids that step up. They have integrity. They try to include others.
Yeah.
And all it takes is maybe myself or one of the classroom teachers saying, hey, you know, this kid doesn't look like they have a lot of friends. Could you help them out?
Yeah.
That's huge. You can teach that. So when you say carry that over, to me, that's taught at home. So if you have parents, you have an environment that, hey, let's include people. We don't make fun of people. Mm-hmm. We don't care how tall, short, size, color, whatever. We don't care.
Yep.
Include people.
Yeah.
Be a leader. And I think that that's where we start that extension. You know, we're a product of what at home is developing. And anytime that we can work with parents and kind of carry over those values at school. Same thing with discipline. You know, if I have to call a parent, you know, I'll start off and, hey, your son or daughter's in a little bit of trouble, but let's just talk.
Yeah.
And I might come from the point, okay, if your son or daughter gets in trouble at home, what do you do?
Getting on board with, like, well, where's their perspective? What do they find that's important? So then we can jump on board with what they want.
And consistency is huge.
Oh, yeah, because if those pictures look different from home to school, that's confusing for the kid.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And just what we're talking about here, too, Joel, is how we treat people. You know, and then when we get out on that playground, if somebody is getting, you know, we hear getting picked on, right? So mm-hmm. a different kid, that definition might mean something than somebody else. As they get older, you know, then we hear the term bullying and harassment.
Yep.
And a lot of times we can take care of those situations on the playground, you know, and then we can talk about them and then we can carry that over. So hopefully at home they can talk about them as well.
Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. So let's kind of move on to some of our next questions here. In what ways, if I'm correct, I think that's my next question here. Yep. So in what ways do physical activities and team games on the playground contribute to the development of social skills and cooperation amongst students?
You got great questions, by the way, there, Mr. J. We hear this hierarchy, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So we have people that, they are natural leaders. We have some that they're able to maybe fill in and not have to win all the time.
Yeah.
We don't have to be the best, right?
Yep.
We're trying to work on that a lot, the competitiveness.
Yeah.
There's a fine line. We want our kids to be competitive.
Yeah.
But we don't want them to get to the point where that competitiveness puts them out on their own island, where Absolutely. They isolate.
Absolutely. Because the point of competitiveness is the real goal is to just have a nice close game or a nice competition, because that's where it's really fun and everyone's bringing their best.
Absolutely.
You know, and the end goal is, yes, to win, but that's such a small facet. Because when you got, like, let's say a team or whatever, and you got players who could care less, you know, they're not bringing in that competition. The other team, yeah, they might blow them out of the water, but that really wasn't that fun. So focusing on the competing for the fun, not competing for the win.
Absolutely.
Right? Okay.
The part of learning how to be part of a team.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah.
You know, there's different coaches that have ideas that give me two or three great players and we'll win. You know, I've been at this 30 some years. Yeah. You give me a team that works together, mm-hmm. we'll beat two great athletes. We'll find that way. If we're on the playground and we've got two kids that are constantly having to, you know, whatever game it is, being charge or whatever.
Running
the show. This whole persona changed years ago when I was still teaching physical education. The old days, let's get two captains, pick your teams, right?
Yep.
Reason we got away from that is we always had that poor person that was always being picked last. Imagine Mr. J being the kid that's always picked last.
Okay.
So when we start talking about self-esteem, we start talking about value of themselves. Instead of us having two kids pick, we ourselves would pick, and there's a creative way. Hey, 1-2, 1-2, A-B, who has red shirt and black shoes? I don't know.
Yeah.
But you can mix and match, and that's the nice thing about physical education, nice thing about recess. We can get kids together. The old persona also, if I had a conflict with you, the old thing used to be, let's separate you two.
Oh.
What I like to do is I like to bring you and I together and say, hey, how do we fix this? Because we're just putting a Band-Aid on the problem. If you're in trouble out on the playground, and let's say, okay, let's ignore each other.
Yep.
We know that eventually that's not going to solve anything. So when we start looking at the different values that we're learning, the different things that we need to learn that will carry over into our job, into our other aspects of our life, the teamwork, learning responsibility, integrity, trustworthiness. The one I really love is social justice.
Okay.
Social justice is if I'm outside and I see a kid that's maybe getting left out by themselves, and I have a kid that walks over and starts to talk to them and say, hey, come play with us today. Mm-hmm. They're reaching out. They're that social justice. They're helping them, and they're just helping everybody feel better. And those are the types of kids that we want to develop here at Hettinger High School.
Wow. That's awesome. And that's kind of a lot to really wrap your head around, because, I mean, there's so many facets to that. But we could maybe save that for another episode, because there's so much going on there. But why don't we take a quick break from this segment? And what we're going to do is we're going to go into our next segment, and we're going to be talking about how students can learn more on the playground and how that transfers to teamwork in the classroom. And we're also going to dive a little bit deeper into personal growth and how PE and recess can be a really big part of that teamwork in the classroom. Okay, and welcome back to this episode of Hot Talk. I'm sitting down with Dave Erickson, and we're going to dive a little bit deeper into this subject in the second segment. So let's start with our first question here. So how could we, explore how play and teamwork on the playground and in the gym for PE and things like that, how they can enhance classroom learning and nurture crucial life skills?
Well, the biggest thing with the classroom, we all know that communication is very important.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so if you have, you know, the old way of the teacher getting up and, you know, each teacher has their own way of getting attention. They might do the old stare at you, right?
Oh, yeah.
Are we ready yet? Have the other one that might blow a whistle or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest thing is when we have the rules that we have set in place,
yeah,
no matter where you're at, church, school, mm-hmm. Playground, mm-hmm. On the playing field, mm-hmm. Family dinner. Okay. We look at the different rules that we have. What are the values that we have? What are our core values? And I think that if we were to go into the elementary right now, Mr. J, and say, okay, guys, what is a value? Well, we know some of them because we do that every day on our announcements and we do that on our uploads. Okay. Yep. So we talk about integrity, trustworthiness, and we try to enhance the skills of the Hettinger Public
yep.
School. Yep. So what does that mean? Okay. Well, we want each kid to become an individual. We want kids to, the ultimate goal is to learn. Mm-hmm. I like to ask each kid at the end of the day, mm-hmm. instead of say, what did you learn today? Tell me about your day.
Oh, so instead of switching it like, hey, tell me what you learned, it's just
because you know what they're going to say. Well, I didn't learn anything. Well, yeah. you did learn something.
Oh, right? Yeah.
But if you have a student say, hey, or a teacher or a coach, hey, tell me about your day, or a parent.
Yeah.
That's a little bit different. It's not like, oh, great, now you need to know what I'm doing. Did I get in trouble? Whatever it was.
Yeah.
Just tell me about your day. And I think that as we get older, if we carry that on in our relationships with our coworkers, that's huge because, you know, hey, instead of what are you doing? Well, what does it look like I'm doing? How's it going today? Hey, tell me one thing. What's your goal? You know, or yeah. whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I think as we start to carry this on from school, you have people that get those questions, those open-ended questions, and start to try to get a little bit more.
Yeah,
you know, we call them higher order questioning as we get older, okay?
Okay.
So, you know, instead of, and Mrs. Schneider and Ms. Block are doing a great job of this, now instead of the old ways with science,
yeah.
now we're going to go and you tell me why this is happening. You know, instead of learning gotcha. About, and we still learn the cells and, you know, the mm-hmm. anatomical parts, you know, all the bones and muscles, all that.
Yeah.
But now let's take it a step further. The other day I was upstairs and they were blowing bubbles.
Yeah.
And they were measuring how big the bubble got. And then as they were going through, there was groups of three. How can we make our bubble bigger?
Gotcha.
What are the steps that we can do? Instead of saying, okay, here's how you make a bubble, right? Now
yeah,
we're
it's not
including.
Procedural. It's
exactly.
It's more about the curiosity and letting
exactly.
the kids take
and you
the
hit
reins.
It on the head. Instead of procedural now, yeah. let's look at the end of the end result. How did we get there and how can we improve it?
Okay.
So the discipline comes in and discipline, we all know we're going to have at our job,
yeah.
in our relationships, whatever we do.
Yeah.
And it's not the old type of discipline where, you know, you have to sit here, be quiet. We have a lot of teachers, a lot of rooms where they're active.
Yep.
But they're under control. And I mm-hmm. think we need more of that because who likes to sit quiet all day long, right?
No, and some people, that's a death sentence.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. We need to be up. We need to socialize. We yeah. want people to learn how to interact with others.
Yeah.
And those are some of the other things that we can do within the classroom to enhance that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So after that, let's kind of go into a little bit more further of maybe some of your perspective and some of the things that you've seen across the years that you've been, you know, a teacher, also, you know, a principal and all that. Maybe you could share some examples or stories of students who have experienced notable personal growth and improved teamwork skills as a result of engaging in physical education and or playground activity. So basically where you've seen everything we've been talking about, where it actually came to fruition and where you saw that growth X, or, you know, A, B, C eventually turned into X, Y, Z.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, I think we're all concerned about our body image.
Oh, okay.
You know, as as we've gotten older, you know, and I think that as we go back in time, I have two students that stand out. And both of them, unfortunately, had eating disorders.
Mm.
And the thing that was early on in my career when we had eating disorders, the persona was, okay, let's weigh you. Let's talk about this. And now we know that's the worst thing to do.
Okay. Let's put gas on a flame.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
So those type of situations, you have to be ready for any type of question.
Yeah.
But I think the thing with the body image, confidence in yourself, the self-esteem, I've seen so many people, not to name specifically,
of course,
but that have improved so much just by getting a little exercise, their confidence grows.
Okay.
Hearing a positive comment from somebody else. In sports, elementary and junior high, you have a kid that's still awkward. They're too tall.
Yep.
They're not. They're catching up to their feet.
Okay? Yep. They're in that transition.
Exactly.
Period. Yeah.
We've had individuals through my career that say, "Well, geez, Dave, how come you're playing this kid?" Well,
yeah.
Look at his feet. It's kind of like that big dog. It's got big paws, right? It's going to be a big dog.
Yeah.
Not that big is important, but.
But. You can see
there's potential. You can see that this kid is still kind of growing in. Think of if you're going to play hockey and you don't know how to skate right away.
Yeah.
You're out there and that doesn't mean that you're not going to be a good skater or a good hockey player. You have to do the steps. And if we don't give kids a chance at a young age, we're kind of shutting down their potential as they get older.
And most importantly, potential for confidence.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. So I've seen way more examples of having the right person as a coach, as a mentor, as a teacher, instead of a kid coming into math and saying, you know, I'm really bad at math. I'm not going to take any more classes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the wrong attitude. We should be taking more classes so that we get better at it.
Absolutely.
Now, all of a sudden, somebody says, yeah, you're right. I agree. It's too much of a struggle. Let's don't work very hard. Nobody wants to hear that.
No.
But I've seen many different examples of where kids, they start off and all it takes is that right person to shape them, help their confidence. Unfortunately, sometimes the negative happens. Other people feed into it or they listen too much to their friends, right?
Gotcha.
And then they say, well, it must be because that's what my friends. So peers are very influential.
Gotcha.
Very influential with that. It's always awesome to go back and have students, and I feel bad because I've done this 30-some years now, and they'll say, well, remember me in school? And I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. And then they think I'm supposed to remember what year they graduated.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm lucky if I remember what year I graduated. Okay. But it's always fun to hear. And then they'll tell you stories. Well, I remember you said this, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, okay. Was I good to you? I hope I was.
Yeah. Yeah, but of course.
And anything that you do, whether it's teaching, coaching, you know, working downtown at the hardware store, whatever, there's always somebody that you're going to influence. And I think as teachers, you know, as coaches, as administrators, as janitors, as cooks, as secretaries, all it takes is that one person. And then that's all it takes to make everything worthwhile.
Yeah. Cause when you have that confidence, kind of going back to that a little bit, that's half the battle of doing anything, whether, you know, a tedious task or a challenging task.
Absolutely.
Is that if you have that confidence, or more importantly, someone who believes you can do the task, whether it's easy or hard, that is half the battle.
Oh, absolutely. It is. You know, and if we give kids the skills to be a little bit more assertive, okay.
Yes.
And say, okay. And they might say, well, I don't know what to do. And it's okay. What do you think you should do?
Let's put them in the driver's
exactly.
seat.
Exactly. Don't do everything for them, you know, and then getting back to some of the things that we can also do at home, buy your kid a bike.
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was pumped last summer. My grandson was out with his bike gang. Okay. Okay. It's not like, awesome. It's not like the Sturgis boys, but there was about five or six of them and they rode bike all over town. Yeah. It was awesome because I like to see kids on bikes. I like to see kids walking. Mm-hmm. It's too easy to go pick them up, drop them off, And I get it. You know, maybe they're far away, but
yeah, there's a bunch of variables possibly involved. So
those are some of the things that we can do as well,
because that gives them that independence, and the independence creates that ability to believe in themselves.
Absolutely.
That confidence.
Absolutely.
Gotcha. So doing small things like that, obviously having those talks and believing in their best and what, you know, what they're capable of, but also giving them activities that will help self-build that automatically. Absolutely. For them, like biking.
And what I've learned through my years is have them be a part of the solution or the plan.
Okay.
So if a kid is, let's say that they're tired all the time or they're on their games, hey, let's find a solution here. How long do you think we should be on that, really? Instead of 8 hours, really?
Yeah. Okay.
So let's find a solution here. Let's get a plan, you know, and we've made the deal at lunch or dinner. There's no cell phones. Mm-hmm. I like that because then there's conversation. Mm-hmm. Or as I get older, quiet is nice too.
It is. Actually, that's one of the things. I mean, I'm still a very young parent, very new parent. It's really cool to see when they don't have anything to do, how they'll find something to
Absolutely.
Do. And how when they learn that skill, how valuable that really can become and how great that is for them. Because that's, again, them flexing that independence, that self-confidence, being able to do things on their own, being more proactive and assertive. And
that's our goal. You know, it's kind of scary because I had a parent last night. We were up in Beach playing football, and they were talking about driver's ed.
Oh,
and
yep,
and that's 14, and they're like, "Oh my God, my kid's going to be 14 and have a 2,000-pound machine, right?"
Yeah.
And I said, "Yeah." So, I better work on some responsibility skills and things like that. So, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, so until it's too late, until they're behind that wheel, or you know, they're doing other things, we've been doing things to get them prepared, and. Yeah. You know, it's everybody. It's in school. It's at
it's everywhere,
wherever. You know, if they have a job, their employer's helping them too. So we'll get there. That's the goal in the long run.
Yeah,
do the right things, get exercise, have fun.
Yeah.
You know, and the other thing about the recess is we've really stressed with our teachers. We don't use taking recess away as a punishment.
Like, that's not something we don't do here.
Right. If we do, it's going to be a short, you know, maybe 5 minutes, say, okay, you know what? You got in a little bit of trouble. Look at that. Your friends are having fun. They're outside there. Because the worst thing that we can do if a kid needs to get rid of some of that excess energy.
That's,
exactly.
So yeah, you're setting yourself
up. We try not to use as much of that as we can as a punishment. And get outside, get that fresh air. All of us know how important fresh air is.
Absolutely.
Exercise. Walk, talk, have a great time, and everything then seems to just kind of slow down.
Kind of fall in place a little bit.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's awesome. That's fantastic. So kind of moving into some of our ending pieces here, how can parents, teachers, and schools work together to ensure that the lessons learned on the playground and in the gym or class are effectively integrated into the broader educational journey of each student? Basically saying is, how can we make sure that all entities can work together? They're all getting told the same thing. And how can we work together on expanding this concept and following through?
Absolutely. We're doing it right here.
Yeah.
Communication.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing is, you know, in our community, and our teachers are really good about this, if there's a question about something that's going on, whether it's in the classroom or somewhere else, the best way to find out is to ask. You know, unfortunately, sometimes we go around about asking other people for some reason, you know, what they think.
Yep.
So I think the communication, I'm a communication nut. I probably over-communicate sometimes. But I think as we learn what some of the things they're doing at school, And then carry that on at home. If there is something that you're kind of wondering, okay, so maybe my son or daughter wants to learn how to play volleyball. Hey, Ms. Reznor, what's the best thing that I can do with my son or daughter?
So right? reaching out to the resources.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, reach out to them. Look, you know, we do go on the internet. I don't know. For some reason, we think that that's golden all the time, but it's a starting point.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, the biggest thing, talk to people that are doing it each day. You know, there are a lot of people in town that have degrees. We have great medical staff. You know, we have a lot of different people that can give us resources. But the key is getting started somewhere.
Just, you know, starting.
Exactly. be active at home. I know there's a lot of parents that like to go hiking with their kids.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Go bike riding, go for walks.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, now we got the pool. Take your kid.
Oh my gosh.
You know,
yeah.
Go fishing, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But I think the more we do together and it's something fitness based, mm-hmm. then our kids learn how important that is.
Well, I suppose with that, I mean, because you're going out and doing an activity, it's kind of a form of play in a sense, right? But play can't exist without rules and guidelines and certain ways that, or certain things that also exist in the classroom, which we kind of talked about earlier.
And I think we forget that kids have stress too.
Yeah.
So when we talk about the best way that you and I relieve stress, number one for me, Joel, is exercise. I think you're probably the same way.
Yeah.
Maybe it's listening to music, reading a book, whatever it might be.
Yep.
So we got to remember that kids have stress as well. And if exercise is one of those biggest ones, let's go together and then let's talk while we're exercising.
Absolutely.
You know, go swimming, go work out, whatever it is.
Absolutely.
And it's never, you're never too young to start.
And the cool thing about that is you're killing so many birds with one stone. Obviously, yeah, it's exercise. You're building that autonomous confidence with them.
Absolutely.
You're spending one-on-one time with your kid. And honestly, you're probably just going to enjoy it in general. So I mean,
absolutely.
You're killing so many birds with one stone.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the best form of communication is listening.
Hmm.
And I think that, and I make a point to that anymore. And, you know, okay, so if somebody's talking, just listen. And if you're out walking and your kid all of a sudden just, wow, they talked more than ever, just let them keep talking.
Yeah. Because that means you're heading in the right direction. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So
that's awesome.
That's pretty deep, right?
No, but that's exactly why we have this podcast. That's exactly why we're bringing these conversations because, you know, obviously you and a whole slew of our staff have this really valuable information that, you know, we try to teach, but sometimes it's really nice as an adult who's outside of the school system, who used to hear it all the time, who now may not. It's nice just to get that reminder of, oh yeah, that's right. That's why we do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, Dave, thank you very much
absolutely
for coming in and
anytime
doing this podcast. And thank you guys for tuning in. And we'll go on to our next segment with our PE coach, Reba Reznor. And welcome back to Hawk Talk. Today we have sitting with us Reba Reznor, Miss Reznor here, who was originally a business computers teacher and now is our PE teacher on the elementary side. Reba, thank you so much for coming in and sitting with and talking with us today.
Yeah, thanks, Joel, for having me. We've only rescheduled, 12 times, it feels like, to try to get in here. So
it's been a couple times, and you know, some of it's school schedules. You know, you're busy literally every night doing volleyball. I think, what was it, all of October? Or no, was it all of September? You had every week was filled with like volleyball.
Yes. Yeah. So from August 30th to September or October 7th actually was every weekend was volleyball. So.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, it's just been busy, 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 but thank you very much for just giving us your free time and a little bit of your morning, to get this important information out to our public. So, first and foremost, I got more of a fun question for you. Is, you know, our kiddos are back in the playground. We're back in school. Things are starting. And what was the favorite thing to do? What was your favorite thing to do on the playground or in PE when you were a kid?
So, of course, just PE in general was my favorite and recess. That's kind of pushed me to this lifeline. So it's actually funny. Mr. Erickson was actually my PE teacher. So
oh, really?
So it's almost like full circle situation happening a little bit.
Yeah.
But I would say the funnest thing was when we got to go outside and play, whether that be outside more structured for gym and got to play kickball. The playground was set up a little bit differently when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So there was like a huge field where you could play full games, kickball, full games. I mean, we had bats, we played softball, things like that. We're a little more constricted now out there, but anything in PE, really. I just loved going and running around.
Gotcha.
Got me out of the schoolwork.
Gotcha. Just having that, you know, the option to get the energy out. Also, to the competitiveness is super fun, really engaging. So were there any, like, fun games that you were like, if there was that day, like if it's kickball day or dodgeball day, you were like, yes!
I would honestly have to say dodgeball day because our class didn't have, we split a lot, boys and girls, and we only had five boys in our class. Okay. So it was one of those things where, like, they always picked me to be on their team, so I just got to beat up on everybody else. So I wasn't necessarily getting beat up on, but I got to go beat up on everybody else. So.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's fun. So, yeah, you had that moment where you felt like, all right, so, like, I can provide value to the situation, and, like, you kind of had that thing that you could claim that was yours a little bit. So that's cool. That's really awesome. Okay, so speaking of also being a volleyball coach, we were talking about, you know, how busy you've been. You know, the season's been going really well. I've been really enjoying watching your kiddos play. How many times do you see the overlap between elementary PE and the students on your varsity volleyball team? Like, how much overlap of what you teach in the gym or out on the playground overlaps with what happens out on the court?
So we split all our stuff into units, so I could do a volleyball unit, which of course that would be more very specific to volleyball and the sport, but a lot of it is macro movements on, just body control and general movements, not so much sport specific movements for PE.
Okay. Gotcha. So like when you're talking about macro movements, you mean large full body movements?
Yep. Well, and it's like moving, just controlling your body, getting your arms out to catch a dodgeball, getting your... Okay. Foot to kick. I mean, just knowing where your body and spatial awareness a little bit, where you got some of those kindergartners that are learning how to run, you know, and just knowing I'm not going to run into this wall. Like I have to stop type of thing. Yeah. So just a little bit of like spatial and court awareness would probably be one of the biggest ones at such a young age. As we get older, we do have that elementary volleyball program. So a lot of those kids can start refining it. And I do have quite a few kids on the free day where they grab a volleyball. So it's one of those things where if they're grabbing it, I'll coach them up a little bit in it, you know, teach them some different things, but it's not so specific of, I'm not trying to foster them. Like, this is what we have to do right now. It's more of like, find your body a little bit.
Absolutely. So just getting used to using that tool that you have. So, and I'm, I suppose like, just like anything else, you just have to practice it. You just have to go out and do it. And that's the only way you're going to learn those skills.
Yeah, it's a huge, the more you practice, the more reps you get, the better off you are. So, I mean, there is an overlap. Anything physical activity that you can do is only going to benefit you. I mean, usually people that are good at basketball usually can pick up volleyball pretty, you know, it translates across sports a little bit where it's like, they can pick it up. They got that athletic mindset. And then there's some that you're like, they can't even walk, but man, can they figure out volleyball? So it's kind of one of those things that it's like, hey, they can't dribble, but they can serve or something, you know?
So there isn't one that per se you would advocate for more over the other as far as what allows you to learn those full body movements. It's really just what works best for each individual.
That's what I think. I think there, like I said, when you get to the high school level, you got to get a little more sport specific on, we're learning how to dig a ball, we're learning to spike a ball, things like that. But a lot of it at a young age is just figuring out the body and the how to throw a ball correctly, stepping, balancing with our feet and things like that, so we don't have kids falling over when they're trying to do something.
Absolutely. What is some of the most common things that you may run into when they're in that younger stage of the skills that they're trying to learn? What's the biggest one right now that keeps popping up?
We just got done with our throwing and catching unit for those kindergarten 1-2 in the third grade a little bit. And because that's not an assumed thing. I mean, I always think kids come in knowing nothing, and parents at home might have taught them something. They might have done the T-ball. They might have done stuff like that. And I mean, you can tell when those kids come in that parents have worked with them, but there's some that come in that don't, that have never thrown a ball. So it's like a lot of it is just figuring out, like I said, the body balance. And it's like, you know, you step with your opposite foot to get torque. Well, they have no idea what torque is. So it's like, wiggle this foot. That's the foot we're stepping with.
Yeah.
So just like keeping body balance where they can produce a pretty decent throw without like throwing their arm out or
over
exaggerating anything.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where it's like they're almost kind of engaging muscles that they maybe necessarily didn't even know they had.
Wow. Yeah, I suppose after a while you start hearing that like, oh, I'm sore.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, hey, there's where it's at. There's that muscle you're working on.
How we set it up, we do a warm up and then a workout. So it's amazing all the different kinds of push-ups you see when we're like, okay, who knows how to do a push-up? And it's,
I suppose. Yeah. It's just, I've never done it.
It's some of them and I don't know if it's daycare, if it's, they see mom and dad working out. I don't know, but it's one of those things that's like, okay, so the first couple weeks is just spent on
yeah,
proper working out, and they're like, oh, my stomach hurts, you know. It's like, well, yeah, we're using our ab muscles. So yeah, things like that is really fun to see in those younger guys.
That's awesome.
So leading in with our next question here, how does the playground environment foster the development and refinement of motor skills in children? We've been kind of talking about those gross motor skills, but maybe you could provide some like specific activities that aid in improving those coordination and balance and agility and all that stuff. You know, what are things that maybe that they could keep doing to keep building those skills?
So the playground's set up actually fairly nicely. They have, so in gym, we, you know, we show them these things, and they're not going to go out and do push-ups out on the playground unless they're those crazy workout kids, which you get every once in a while. Mm-hmm. But there's like beams out there that go around. Mm-hmm. You'd be amazed how many kids just try to balance on those and walk all the way around the playground on those landscape timbers. And it's like they use what they have, and it gives them a chance to, they don't think they're doing it. They think they're playing. Yes. And it's like, you know what? Use your imagination. Like I'm full into letting them explore and
try.
Well, yeah.
Things.
And it's like, fall down. Like, well, you didn't pick up your foot, you know, type mm-hmm. of deal. But the biggest one out there, I would say, for coordination is every kid wants to do the monkey bars. I don't know how many kids I've carried at the bottom of those monkey bars or had, I fell off the monkey bars. It's like, mm-hmm. yeah, well, it's a thing you got to practice. You got to be careful, yes, you know.
And build that muscle.
Well, and absolutely, a lot of it is even how to land. So it's like, you know, like, yeah, am I going to roll to my back? Am yeah. I going to land on my feet type of deal? Mm-hmm. So a lot of them, I would say, are definitely, it just gives them a chance to explore things that maybe push the limit a little bit, I would say, out on the playground where they're not so like, this is what we're doing. This is how we're doing it right now. And sure, that football field out there and basketball courts, of course, anything related like that, I think there's been an ongoing soccer game for about 3 weeks now of just soccer out there, yeah, and they've gotten way better. And yeah, it's like, we haven't even touched on soccer in gyms. So.
No, but it just happened organically out yeah. on the playground. And that's the it game. And, mm-hmm. and I remember that as a kid, like that you'd switch sports throughout the year and there would just be like, all right, football is really it right now.
Yep.
And then yeah, soccer would become a thing and then it would be tag or whatever. And
yeah, I do think we did do a kicking unit. So I think some of that was like, instead of doing the, I'm going to pass to my teammate, I'm just going to kick the ball as hard as I can and score goals. Right. So I think that's kind of why soccer got implemented out there.
Of course.
But no, I would agree. It's,
and there's a bell. That's
the bell
right.
every yep. time.
Yep.
And that's why I think it's just important for them to have that time out there, even just to explore and really tune up what their bodies are doing, especially when they're not paying attention to what anyone else is doing.
Gotcha. So really what it comes down to is just having a plethora of options mm-hmm. and letting their imagination do the rest.
Because mm-hmm. okay. the body will do the little stuff. If you show it how to do the bigger stuff, the body is going to naturally be like, oh, okay, we got to put more weight on my outside of my foot to balance on this beam. Mm-hmm. It's good. You know, they're doing it.
Yeah, they're going to feel that, and they're going to love mm-hmm. that little bit of challenge and push mm-hmm. themselves, and that's a sort of game that they're creating for themselves.
Right.
And very cool. Very, very cool. So really just comes down to opportunity and variety, mm-hmm. really.
I would agree.
Cool. Very cool. So now we're going to kind of go to, I wouldn't say it's a controversial topic, but it's an argument that does come up from time to time that we have heard, where some critics argue that academic subjects should take precedence over physical education. Now, obviously, we are a school, so we advocate for all types of learning. But considering the benefits of teamwork and social learning in the gym and on the playground, how would you respond to that perspective of saying, like, it should just be all academics? Why are we wasting our time?
I'm full-sided PE on this one.
That's good.
And I know Mr. Erickson is as well, because yep. there's a lot of schools that, it's an every other day situation. So they alternate with gym and music. Well, okay. I'm a big all around, be well-rounded individual.
Yes.
So yes, you need your math, your sciences, your histories, all that stuff. Like, I'm not saying that, but that 25 minutes of gym might be the only class that a certain kid could exceed in and make their day, where they might struggle with the reading and everything else all day. So they're just beating their head against the wall, lost in class.
Yeah. So it's like, it's that one moment where they're like, all right, awesome. I can be celebrated of being myself and my yep. unique abilities.
Yeah. I can come
in the rest of the day.
Yep. And then it's like, depending on, I've seen a lot of things with kids, even changing gym time these last 2 years. It's like, they benefit from being in the afternoon because they're kind of getting that droggy, like, oh, I'm sick of being at school. But it's like, hey, well, let's go. We're in gym. And it's a complete flip of the switch.
Oh, wow. So, just getting that blood pumping and getting things moving, it like almost affects their mood and everything entirely.
Right.
Wow.
Well, and that can go the other way, too, because there are some very competitive children. So
and
it's like,
that's normal.
Yeah. So it's like PE can kind of might ruin that for that day. And they, you know, so I think PE is the only class where you'll really see that more emotional side of learning. You know, I'm not going to be like, Joel, 2 + 2 is not 5. You know, it's 4. Well, you're probably not going to throw a fit on that. It's like, okay, I got it wrong. No.
Yep.
You know, but it's like, I get out and tag. I got some kids that will cry because they
got
out.
Well, I suppose because they're trying so hard. They're so invested into it. They're giving as much of their being as they possibly can. And then when sometimes that doesn't work out, they probably take it really personally.
Yeah. And then the biggest thing for me is like, hey, that's part of the game. That's not everything's going to go your way, right? That's part of the game.
Yeah.
You get an opportunity in, you know, rainbow tick, 2 more colors to get back in and try again.
Okay.
And that's the coolest thing about gym. It's like, oh, do it again. You missed the basket, shoot it again.
Which I suppose kind of brings in a little bit of that resilience coming in there. And they're practicing that in small steps.
Yep. Some kids from last year to this year, even you can see, they're not doing that crying anymore. They know that's part of the game. And it's like, yeah, they got tagged, you know, but it's like, okay, you've grown up a little bit. You figured it out. And it's so cool to see that with kids.
Where something just all of a sudden starts clicking.
It's
and
like,
it's just a different development of
completely.
The
beat. Completely. And then they're, you know, it's like, hey, they're not throwing the fits and reacting like just mad. They can handle that emotional a bit and be like, hey, I'm mad, but I'm going to try harder because I'm mad about it.
Yeah. Using the energy and putting it into the right channel.
Yes.
Yeah. That's really cool. So then kind of, we touched a little bit on that perseverance part. I got a question that's related to that, where what role do physical activities play in building resilience and perseverance, which we were kind of talking about, and how do these qualities translate into academic and personal success? So basically building those resiliency skills, where do you see that build into also back into the classroom and then also just as that human being as they grow up?
So I think PE is probably the first place that they get to experience a little bit of that retrying stuff because they go and do their math test, you know, they might not get it for another week.
Yeah.
The math test part of it, spelling test, whatever it may be, where PE, you get out in dodgeball, you get tagged out and tag, you get out in kickball, whatever it may be. Yep. It's like, you don't have long and you got to do it again. You're kind of forced to do it again where it's like, holy cow, I got to get my mind right. I'm going again. Yeah. So it's like a little bit of that grit where it's like, I can't worry so much about what that last thing happened. Yeah. I have to be ready for the next one.
I suppose it's just one of those things where it's just, they learn that mental toughness. Mm-hmm. They learn that ability to maybe let go of some emotions that they're dealing with and all
or,
that stuff.
Or figure out, you know, like that's not really that important for me to be stressing about. I'm more worried about kicking this home run. It's like, I didn't care that Joel was stuck at second and he should have ran, like, you know, type of things like that.
Yep.
So I think it's just finding their way through. And we have some emotional kiddos. There's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, yeah. There's the gamut of all types.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I was one of those. I don't know how many days in PE I sat out because I was throwing a fit. But thank you, Mr. Erickson, for making me do so. Like I said, full circle type of deal.
Oh, yeah.
But it's the only class, I would say, where there is so much emotion and so much, honestly, a lot of real world, just life. Not necessarily for a specific job or anything like that, but working together with a team, how are you going to react when someone lips off to you? How are you going to handle when you didn't get picked on whatever team? And it's kind of that first time where kids are like, whoa, you know, they kind of feel that. And it's like, it's different if you're just playing at your house or daycare, everyone's just playing.
Yeah.
Or it's like, gym, okay, now we got kids picking each other's teams. We got
all of that. That becomes like a whole thing in itself.
It does.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So kind of with that too, with that resilience, I'm sure you've experienced that yourself where, you know, you've had to get your mind right. You've had to learn and practice that skill. And I'm sure that's affected you on a professional level. I'm sure that that's built across and going into college and then learning, you know, to deal with the challenges being a teacher. I'm sure that's affected you as an individual.
Oh, for sure. Like I said, I don't know how many days and PE kickball. I got to sit out because I threw a fit. Yeah. And at the time, Mr. Erickson was not one of my favorite. But but like I said, yeah, coming full circle, it's like, okay, you know what? He was definitely helping me. Like, mm-hmm. he did exactly what he was needing to do. And now I see it. It's like, I get it. Like,
yeah,
it, you know, the click, it clicked for me. Like, I get it, Mr. Erickson. Hey, yeah. like, thank you for doing that. And I've told him, I said, you know what? I really appreciate that, that you didn't give up on me and just let me throw my tantrums, that you held me accountable for
absolutely.
What I was doing.
Absolutely. So just giving you that practice of mm-hmm. accountability and,
yeah, and all of that. I'm lucky enough because I get to come back to PE. So it's like, you know, most people sitting at a bank might not see so much of that, but you still have, it's all across all avenues where it's definitely life skills being taught, even though
yeah.
they think they're just running or they think they're just playing a game.
But absolutely. It's something that's transferring not only back into the classroom, but probably back home and for the mm-hmm. rest of their lives. So it's a great time for them to be able to have access to that practice.
Yes. I would, absolutely. Yeah.
That's awesome. So I got a final question for you and we'll wrap things up. How does engaging physical activities, whether it's in PE class or on the playground, positively impact mental health and contribute to stress reduction, anxiety relief, or just feelings of well-being? Basically, how does that affect the person's kind of mental well-being and just how they're generally feeling as an individual? I mean, where how do you see that impact them positively?
So I would say, you know, any working out, there's all kinds of articles and theories, tests, all this stuff, where the brain releases those endorphins where it's like, hey, I'm doing something physically active, it's naturally going to release those chemicals that
so when you're working out, you're actually getting like a kickback of mm-hmm. dopamine and all of those yep. all of those chemicals just because you're moving.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. And like I touched on a little bit, like that could be the only class that kid might exceed in. So it's like they've kind of been not put down all day, but feeling a little sluggish, a little
yep.
Got to read this story again, you know. And then it's like, hey, let's go. I get to go to gym.
And then they get that kind of mental mm-hmm. well-being kickback.
That
again
boost. There. Yep. Like, wow. And it's almost like you can see them, like the teachers might not like it because they probably come back to class a little amped up, but
that's normal. Yeah. yeah.
But you've been in my gym when there's classes in there. And yes. I have a lot of teachers come in that are like, how do you handle this? And it's like, this is their time to let it out.
To let loose.
This absolutely. Is their time to run around and burn that energy, whatever mm. they need to do to get, hey, I got 2 more hours of school.
Yeah.
I got an hour, you know, and I'm okay with that.
And I suppose, I mean, you being one of those kids who really needed that class, you know, who really enjoyed that so much, you're like, dude, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
You go nuts.
Yeah. And for me, it was, like I said, for me, it was definitely, I wasn't horrible in school, but definitely not top flyer. So it's like,
yeah.
So it's one of those things. It's like, I got 20 minutes till gym. Let's go. Like, okay. I can, you know, and then it's like, okay, gym class, cool. Probably got in trouble, had to sit out because I was too amped up and Mr. Erickson sat me out. But then it's like, okay, I'm ready for the rest of the day type yeah. of deal. And I just think any physical activity, even as an adult, like mm-hmm. frolfing, you and I both frolf, makes me mad, right? I get hit a tree, I get mad. But just being out there just makes you feel better.
You do, especially by the time you get to that whole nine and you, by the time you circle back, you're like, oh no, I'm glad I did this.
Right.
Like you have that good feeling. So
yes. And that's really cool. That's what I think any physical activity does. And it's huge at school because I think a lot of these, not a lot, I would say there's definitely some kids that go home and mom and dad are kind of, mm-hmm. here's the tablet or the TV's
absolutely.
On,
absolutely.
Which is heartbreaking. And because mm-hmm. I mean, you can tell when they get here, it's like, oh, they didn't do anything last night because they can't yep. even
yeah, they're, do a sit up right now. Yeah, absolutely.
So it's
absolutely.
Like, it's like, I love having them at school where they're forced to do something physical every day. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And having the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. To do it, yeah. The opportunity to do it is yeah. huge.
And kind of like you said, some schools, they do it every other day. So, I mean, right. imagine those kids who have that pent up energy and they can't.
Right.
Or the kids who probably should, but, you know, they right. have the other.
Well, that's where recess is such a huge thing.
Yeah.
Honestly, because it's like, yeah, they might not be more controlled, but they get to explore what their body can do out on that playground.
Absolutely. Which leads to that that mental well-being and feeling better and getting all that energy out and feeling more balanced as a human being. So
yep, 100%.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you very, very much for coming in and finding time to meet with me today and to talk with us and share all the awesome insights that you have. Yeah, just thank you very, very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And that's our episode. A big thanks to Mr. Erickson and Ms. Resner for providing insights into the value of moving our bodies, the confidence it brings, and the stability that it provides. And remember, you can listen to Hawk Talk anywhere that you get your podcasts, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or even Google Podcasts. So thanks for listening and have a great day.